Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. Mark Cox here along with my partner, Bo Matthews. We got Ethan Bright filling in for the vacationing Carl Middleman this week. And you're supposed to say pew-pew there.
Pew-pew.
All right. Nice. I appreciate that. Good to have you along. Bo, I just have to tell you, my friend, I said this before and I'll say it again, and now we have more evidence of it. You are a natural trap shooter. You haven't done it a lot in your life, but every time you do it, you get better. And I think what happened to you this past week is more evidence of that, right?
Dude, I'll tell you what. I was so pumped. So I was on the winning team of an event at St. Louis Trap and Skeet for Poles for Paul. And I hit 74 out of 100 clays. And I was the worst on the team, dude. I was the worst. So I think I'm getting it by osmosis, but this is only my sixth time doing it. So I was grinning ear to ear on my way home, and I had to text him like, dude, you ain't going to believe this.
Yeah, that teased me off just a little bit. I just have to tell you, I've been shooting trap for 25 or 30 years, right? Long time. And I was so proud of myself because at a recent charity shooting event, I was the low man on the team because everybody else was in like 89 or 90 or something like that. Yeah. And I shot a 71 or 72, which was my best ever, and you've beaten it. After six attempts, that's amazing.
Well, I enjoy it, but you have an advantage too because you actually bird hunt and I don't do that. But it's a great skill to have. It truly is, and it just takes time, I guess. But you'll get better. I'm sure you'll get better.
Clearly, the birds are lucky that you don't bird hunt because you're a good
yeah, right.
Speaking of guns, you've got your raffle going on again for next year, right?
Okay, so we're not done with the 2024 drawings. We still have through November, and we are going to do a drawing on Monday, the 16th. We normally do it on the 15th, but Doc's Guns and Ammo is closed. So I'll be on Facebook Live, hopefully, with another drawing. But then we're going to start off again in December with another complete list of guns. And they're everything from high-dollar revolvers, rifles, pistols, shotguns, just everything. And every gun, there's no gun worth less than $700. And a lot of them are worth $1,000. So we got a great selection. So we're selling them for $100 each ticket. But that means your ticket stays in for all 12 drawings. And I believe, Mark, you're going to win on Monday. I believe.
Yeah, well, I bought two tickets last year, Bo, and I'm still keeping my fingers crossed. But it's it's a fundraiser, obviously, for the Police Officers Association, right?
It is, and yeah. It's a great way to do it. And this year we're only selling 300 tickets for all 12 drawings. So get a hold of me through Facebook Messenger or call me if you got my number. It'd be great to get these tickets out.
Great odds, great odds. You know, we focus a lot on hunting and shooting sports on this show. So I was interested when I watched the debate this past week to hear how they would handle the gun issue. And what we heard was Kamala Harris claiming that she's a gun owner and Tim Walz is a gun owner and they're not coming after your guns. And it wasn't very hard for me to find this bite from Tim Walz in Minnesota not long ago.
Amongst them are not going to stand by and let people keep making this about the Second Amendment. We've got gun safety bill on the table and we're going to get it passed. I'm going to sign it, and this is what's going to happen. We're going to have universal background checks. We're going to have red flag laws to keep guns out of the hands of people. And we all know damn well weapons of war have no place in our schools, in our churches, in our banks, or anyone wants to live in peace.
Yeah,
when I first started in Congress, I had an A rating from the NRA. I have straight Fs now. I sleep just fine at night.
At least he didn't claim he carried a weapon in war in that particular bite. But it's very clear that Walz and Harris, who's called for mandatory gun buybacks in the past, are no friend of anybody who supports the Second Amendment.
Well, and number one, if they were to implement that, do you think they would do a buyback program? Number one, where would they get the funding for that? Number two, how are you going to put a value on a firearm that you own? How would they know?
It's a bigger issue than that, Bo, because you can't buy back something from me that I didn't buy from you in the first place. They don't own my gun. They never owned my gun. They have no right to own my gun and forcing me to sell it back to them. If there's ever something that takes armed people to the streets in this country, that might be it. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if you start trying to mess around with people's Second Amendment rights like that, I fear it could come to something like that. Plus, I don't think, and I've talked to a lot of police officers about this, I don't think most people in law enforcement would be willing to go out and enforce a crazy law like that that flies in the face of the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
That's true. But so what are they going to do? Implement the National Guard or the military to go house to house and
do
a sweep?
If you want to start a war, that's a good way of doing it. Just like in Illinois, wherever they wanted people to register their ARs and only 2% of the population did it, I would imagine it would be less percentage than that in the U.S. that would comply with something like this. And at that point, you've turned millions of United States citizens into criminals. This is what's at stake in this election. And I just have to point that out.
And I want to point out that there are so many people every single day that I'm out in public. I'm asking people whenever I talk to them, whether it's a friend or somebody I just met, are you going to vote on November 5th? And so many people are saying, I'm not really following along. Dude, if you are not engaged, at least some, and I'm not just talking headlines, you need to know what's going on because this is a crucial election, especially because there's so different ideas about this country and how they want to proceed. I've got family that are just confused and people get confused and then they're like, I'm not even going to do it. No, this is your chance. Yeah. If you're not happy.
I agree. You can't complain if you're not willing to get involved in the process. You got to educate yourself. I will be putting out a voter guide for my show if people are interested coming up next week. So look for that on the Mark Cox Morning Show for sure. All right. We're coming up on hunting season. I know a lot of people are already making their plans for deer camp or wherever they're going to go. Have you given any thought to the risk you might be putting yourself at as you get older? Going out in the woods, sweating, climbing tree stands, all that, maybe something you need to think about. And we got a medical professional who would like to draw your attention to that for just a moment when Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors continues.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Welcome to the program. Mark Cox along here. So thank you for listening to the program. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are on Manchester Road, just east of 270, and they are busy as heck right now. Everybody's watching the news. They're a great source for firearms, non-lethal firearms as well, accessories, ammo. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you in. All right, our guest, and what an honor it is to have Brian Ganz, the CEO of Byrna. Byrna is the manufacturer of non-lethal firearms. Now, I've heard a lot of advertising for it. I've searched it out online because it intrigues me because, you know, there's some soft targets, I guess we'd call it, you know, where you cannot bring firearms. And Byrna has an answer to that with the products that they sell. And Brian Ganz, the CEO, is going to talk to us and educate us all about the products that they have and, most importantly, what their mission is. Brian, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's great to be
here. Yeah. Well, what is your mission and how long have you been with the company, sir?
Yeah, I've been with the company going on 6 years. When I joined the company, the name of the company was Security Devices, and we made ammo for law enforcement, non-lethal ammo for law enforcement. We were doing about $250,000 a year in sales, but myself, along with a number of the other founders of Byrna, we were all gun owners, and we wanted to find a way to go after the consumer market. You know, as gun owners, we carried all the time. I always had my weapon with me. I was not one of those guys that carried only on weekdays because, you know, you don't have insurance just for the weekdays. You have insurance 7 days a week. You never know when you're going to need your weapon. But you know what? I often thought, how quick would I be to pull the trigger? And if I'm really honest with myself, the answer was probably. So what I wanted to do was to create something that we could use to stop a crime that was safe, effective, reliable, but without the risk of taking a life. And that was the invention of the Byrna. And, you know, honestly, now if I make a mistake, it's not an irrevocable mistake. If I shoot the paper boy by accident coming up the driveway, well, you know what? I'll leave a bigger tip at Christmas. But nobody's going to the morgue. Nobody's going to the hospital. Nobody's going to jail. And honestly, we've now sold close to 500,000 units over the last 6 years, 5 years since it's been introduced. And there's clearly a demand, and there's a demand primarily, and this is very interesting, among gun owners, because I'm clearly not the only gun owner that wants to have something down the continuum force. Now, that said, I did not sell any of my handguns. I still carry my handgun. We all believe in Second Amendment rights. But like law enforcement, I want something a little further down the continuum of force on the theory that not every confrontation should be a life or death situation.
Right. And you know, I know a lot of times I was looking at a couple of your products online. Like one of them is orange, for example. I could see that and very clearly think that's not a real firearm. Is there anything, but the other one is black that I'm looking at, the Byrna LE. Is there anything that distinguishes it to the average person looking at it who wouldn't know it's a lethal firearm?
Ooh, good question.
You know what? It's a really good question. And when we started off, we made only orange because we wanted people to know it was less lethal. And one of the customers we got early on was a private security company. And they asked us if we would make it in black. So when we made it in black, because they wanted to be able to have their guards carry something that when it was in the holster, people would think that they were carrying a real weapon. And when we offered the black, it turned out that the vast majority of our consumers wanted black. I, in fact, you know, have multiple guns and I only carry a black gun. Right. And the interesting thing is that, you know, we were told by a guy who was with the NRA, NRA statistics is when you bring a gun out to stop a crime, 92% of the time you do not need to pull the trigger.
That's
and
right.
The interesting thing is we found something very similar. So if you pull out your black launcher, people think you have a real firearm. The vast majority of the time, that is enough. People quickly leave, turn around. Because, you know, Mark, most criminals, they're not looking to get into a gunfight. They're looking for the easy mark. And as soon as they find somebody that's willing to stand up to them, that's usually all it takes. That said, you can't have a toy gun because 8% of the time you do need to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And you need to know that you're going to stop somebody.
And what is the projectile, Brian?
There's two different projectiles. One is a kinetic projectile, which is a hard, you know, military-grade polymer that just uses pain compliance, as the police refer to it. And it, you know, it hurts like hell. And there are videos of me getting hit with it where I'm jumping up and down, you know, screaming a few choice curse words. And honestly, I load my gun so that the first two projectiles out are these hard polymer projectiles. Because the projectiles after that I shoot are tear gas. And when you get hit with the tear gas, you are incapacitated for 30 minutes. And honestly, I really would rather not shoot that in my house. Police would rather not put that guy in the back of their car because he's temporarily blinded. He's in respiratory distress. So it's really those two projectiles, the kinetic projectile for pain compliance and then the tear gas projectile to cause respiratory distress and blindness. There are also a lot of practice projectiles so people can practice in their backyard. Because like with a real firearm, you know, you're not going to rise to the occasion, you know, in the a fit of, you know, adrenaline.
Sure.
Right, right. I got a question, Brian. Brian Ganz, the CEO of Byrna. You can go to Byrna.com to learn more. So my fear, and I've actually looked at buying one, and I've been on the fence, and I haven't pulled the trigger, pun intended, because it's a CO2 cartridge that is the propellant that moves the projectile, correct? I've got a BB gun that has the CO2 cartridges, and if I leave it in there and I go to grab it and I go to shoot a squirrel or go to, you know, target practice, a lot of times that tank has emptied on me. Have you guys perfected that tank, seal so it isn't empty when you need it in an emergency?
You know, that's a really good question. And that was really our primary concern. We wanted something that the moment you pulled the trigger, it was ready. So as you know, as millions of people know, you put that CO2 in a paintball gun, in a BB gun, it starts to leak out, and 48 hours later, you've got a paperweight. So
that's right.
We have something called the pull pierce technology, which means when you put the CO2 in, it is not pierced. It is not pierced until the very first pull of the trigger. When you pull the trigger, you simultaneously puncture the CO2 and you fire the projectile. So, Mark, if you put it in there and you leave it for a day, a week, a month, a year, for 10 years, whenever you pull out the weapon, it will be ready to go. And although there are a lot of our consumers that use it a lot, just like there are a lot of gun owners that practice a lot, there are a lot who use it like a fire extinguisher.
Sure.
In other words, they buy it, they put it in their nightstand, they want it in case of emergency. For them, they have the peace of mind of knowing it will always be ready.
Right.
Genius. Man. Okay. Add to cart. I'm adding to cart right now.
Brian,
no, that eases my mind because that's a big concern when it comes to a BB gun, for instance, or a paintball gun, but that's, you know, you're setting up for a day, but that's huge, man. That's fantastic news.
Yeah.
Well, we're the only one who has that patent, and it really distinguishes the Byrna from all of the other similar type of weapons on the market.
Yeah, and Brian, for people that maybe haven't, like Bo here, shopped for it and put it in the cart and then decide not to buy it, what is the price range we're looking at on your product? I assume there's a couple of different options here, right?
Yeah, we have the Byrna SD, which is the self-defense model. It looks sort of like a Glock 19. I carry a Glock 19, so it was sort of modeled after that. That's $379. There is a Byrna LE, which was designed for law enforcement, and we took into consideration some concerns that we had from law enforcement. So it comes with a little bit more power. It's about 60% more powerful than the SD. It has enhanced sighting systems, so it works better at night. It has white dot or fiber optic sights that you could use at night. So that's $479.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, 40% of our consumers buy the Byrna LE, even though I don't think 40% of our consumers are law enforcement.
Yeah. No, I see.
Right.
And pretty pretty widely available. I mean, can you buy them online, or do you need to go to a retailer?
Well, you can buy it online if you go to www.byrna.com. But it is also available in Bass Pro and Cabela's and Scheels, and there's about 500 locations, including a number of FFLs around the United States that carry Byrna, and growing.
Yeah, that's great. And is this so you would say that these products, even the rifle style, is just as effective as the handgun style?
The rifle style, frankly, is a little bit more effective. Obviously, you can shoot a rifle to greater distances than you can a pistol. We say 60 feet. Honestly, I'm not sure that there are very many of us out there that are capable with a handgun at 60 feet. It's just not that stable a platform. But we also sort of feel, because this is a self-defense weapon, that beyond 60 feet, you're somewhat of a predator.
Right.
we think that self-defense sort of begins at 60 feet. On the other hand, for my wife, I leave a Byrna TCR by the front door. And, it is a very easy point-and-shoot rifle. It is more intuitive for her to be able to aim a rifle than it is to be able to aim a handgun. So the rifles are equally effective. I would say that they are more popular with law enforcement than they are with consumers, because law enforcement does use them for other things. So, for example, breaking glass windows, they can do this from 100 feet off with the rifle.
Wow.
And if they break a glass window and then they fire the tear gas or pepper rounds into the room, they can get the bad guys to exit the house. So there's a lot more missions that they're capable of doing with the rifles than they are with the pistols.
You know, on the heels of the shooting in Georgia at that school, I noticed on your website you have several different products, including defense sprays and things like that. But the backpack body armor, I learned about that a few years ago, and you have backpacks for, kids or adults, I guess, that has body armor in it. Is that a big seller for you?
We have two things. One is a Byrna Shield, and that is a piece of body armor, a 3-plus vest that you can put into any backpack that is going to stop almost all manner of gun. But we also have something called the Ballista Pack. And I ended up buying this company from an emergency room doctor in Florida who was sick and tired of treating gunshot victims. And he wanted to create something that in a moment's notice you could deploy into full tactical body armor. So it comes with a 3-plus shield in the back. You can reach back and pull this lever and pull it over your head, and you now have a 3-plus shield in the front. So you have what comes is tantamount to full body armor. And the reason we fell into this was after the Parkland shooting. I don't know if you remember, this security guard cowered outside. He was afraid to go in. And part of the reason he was afraid to go in was his body armor was, you know, hundreds of yards away in some locker, and he didn't have time to get it, and he didn't want to go in against an AR-15 with no body armor. Now, you can think what you want of this guard, but, you know, you sort of get the point. If somebody is wearing a vest, and it is a very discreet vest, we don't put Byrna logos anywhere on it, it is not intimidating to the student, but within a matter of seconds, it can deploy into full body tactical armor. And it comes with a MOLLE, so you can either carry a Byrna or carry a lethal firearm with you. It comes with an anti-bleed pack, because a lot of what they're encountering are students that are bleeding out.
Right.
We think this is the ideal solution for schools. And honestly, the greatest day of my life will be the day that Byrna is used to save even a single life in a school shooting. It is it's a vanity project for me. It's a pet peeve of mine. I am horrified every time I hear about these school shootings. And
as you know, we
are clearly trying to be part of the solution.
Well, Brian Ganz from Byrna Technologies, Byrna, BYRNA.com. We appreciate the eye-opening information about your product. I'm glad to hear about it. Thank you.
Terrific, guys. Thank you very much. I really appreciate being on the phone with you.
You bet. Yeah.
I really wanted to know how he got the company to do a word jumble on his name to name it after him, Brian.
Nice.
Well, I am the second largest investor, so that helps.
That does help.
There
exactly.
You go.
Yeah.
Thanks for all you do, buddy. Really appreciate your time. Good luck, okay?
Thanks so much. Thanks for the call. Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
BYRNA.com is where you can go to find out and purchase, like I'm going to, a Byrna.
Coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, we're going to check in with my friends from The Range, St. Louis West. They've got an event coming up that you don't want to miss. We'll be right back.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors alongside Mark Cox. My name is Bo Matthews. We thank you for tuning into the show, and we ask you to share the show with anybody that is like-minded when it comes to the Second Amendment for sure, but for those people that either want to be or that enjoy the outdoors, this is the outdoor segment. This segment is also brought to you by Razorback Armory Indepair. They are your gun experts. If you're looking for suppression, like a silencer on a firearm, definitely go see them and get that process started. You can find out more information at RazorbackArmory.com. Just head to the store a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road, and it has been busy there for sure. So there has been many calls to the St. Louis County Health Department and Animal Control because bats are, it seems like the numbers have risen. Matter of fact, just yesterday morning, I was out early to go see the Mark Cox show this week when he was in Eureka. So that's why I was up so dang early. And I was actually outside and saw like two or three bats flying around, and then this pops up as a story. So we wanted to get an expert in here on bats and what we can expect. I haven't seen no bat signal. I know she's heard that joke 100,000 times. Bat ecologist Shelley Kaleski, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, thank you very much.
what makes a bat expert a bat expert? Are you a fan of the movies, or is it just part of your purview?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yay, that's cool. So yeah, tell us about the situation we've got going on here in the state of Missouri.
Sure, yeah, so it's nothing new. I just know that so this time of year is what we call fall migration. So this is when the bats are leaving their summer roosts to go to their hibernation sites. And so oftentimes people will start to see influx in bat numbers as they're migrating through, stopping over. You know, they have long migration paths, so sometimes they can travel a couple hundred miles or more between their summer site and their winter sites. And so most of the bats that people see around their houses are big brown bats, and they often will actually hibernate in man-made buildings as well as caves and mines. But there's different conditions, and so if someone has an attic that's more favorable for them to hibernate in, sometimes it will do that, old abandoned buildings. So that, yeah, this is not anything new. It's just maybe some people are taking more, maybe becoming more aware, or they just have a section in their house or on their house that the bats are preferring this time of year. But bats are a very good thing to have around. I get not having them in your house.
Yeah.
But outside the home, bats are very, very beneficial.
Well, it's a good thing to know. Hi there, Mark Cox here. Yeah, I was wondering about that because sometimes, you know, TV news will latch onto a story and kind of make it a bigger story than it really is. I guess it's never a bad idea.
No.
To be able to educate people about this, though, right? This is an opportunity.
Right. Yep. Correct. Yeah. So this is the time of year where they're moving, they're flying to different places. So sometimes they'll get bats like randomly on your porch, but they might only be there for a night or two, especially if the temperature drops to where it's too cold for them to fly, or it's too cold for them to find insects. And so they'll kind of hang out in a couple spots that's warm enough for them. And then as soon as it's warm enough for them to fly off, they'll take off.
I think Bo kind of alluded to it there off the top, but bats get a bad rap sometimes because, let's face it, we see them in movies and they're designed to be scary and people scream when they come flying out of caves and all of that stuff. What do people need to know? I mean, obviously, I had a nephew who was at the Boy Scout ranch down off of Antire Road. They've got a cave down there called Mud Cave. And, of course, they were in there. They were doing their Boy Scout outing, and he ended up having his mouth open as he looked up, and one of these bats defecated in his mouth, right?
Whoa. Mm.
So not knowing what they were dealing with, they had to take him and get him shots just in case. So, I mean, you do have to be cautious around them, even though they're not really dangerous animals, right?
Correct. Yeah, and that's something that's really important to emphasize, you know, that they're like any other wild animal. You know, you definitely don't, you know, in certain situations, if you have an encounter like that, or if you, in any kind of way that you think you've been exposed to a bat, you know, it's best to seek, you know, medical advice for that, because rabies is a fatal disease. And so, you know, while rabies in bats is very rare, typically it's less than half of 1% of all bats. Our Missouri rate for the bats that are submitted to the rabies lab and testing positive is around a 2.6%. So out of like almost 900 bats, there was just, you know, a handful that came in and tested positive for rabies. So while it is very rare, it still is one of those things where if you think you come in contact with a bat, it's best to like kind of analyze that situation and work with your healthcare professionals, because you know, you just don't want to take that chance. But then, you know, and I want to emphasize, don't handle, if you see any bats on the ground, just do not handle them and ask for some professional folks to help with that. Yeah. It's any wild animals, you know. Yeah.
Shelley Kaletsky is our guest. She's a bat ecologist. You know, so I live rurally, so I'm in the farm store all the time. And you can find these designs to make yourself, these bat houses or bat boxes, I guess they call them. So some people do want to keep them in, kind of like marlins. If you have a marlin house, you know, they eat a lot of mosquitoes too. In the travel that they do, the migration they do, from what point is that? And can you coax bats into these boxes to eat the mosquitoes that are on your property or in your backyard?
Yeah. So, you can't necessarily coax them to be in the box, but you can encourage them for providing the best habitat possible. Oftentimes people have bat colonies in their attics, and so they get them excluded. Wow. And then if people put bat houses up then outside, then the bats will actually go to those bat houses instead of, you know, the attics that they were originally in. So that's a really good sign. Planting native plants to increase the insect diversity for the bats and birds, like the martens. They do eat mosquitoes. So, you know, bats and birds do eat mosquitoes. They don't eat as many mosquitoes as everybody thinks, but they do eat mosquitoes.
Yeah.
But they also take care of other pests, like all the crop pests as well. So like moths and beetles as well. So yeah, bat houses, if you want to put one up, I encourage it. Bat Conservation International. So it's BatCon, BATCON.org is the best resource to go to for the different types of bat houses, as well as how to put them up to make sure that you are increasing your chance to get a bat in the bat house.
Wow. What is the count? I mean, do we actually go to the trouble to try to estimate the bat population? And if so, how do you do that?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So some bats are able to be estimated. Indiana bats, which roost in trees in the summertime and hibernate in large numbers in caves and mines in the wintertime. We have around 230,000, 240,000-ish in the state. Most of them are in Hannibal at our Dallas Nature Preserve up in Hannibal. It's a large mine that contains multiple species of bats, but it contains the largest population of Indiana bats throughout its range. And so when we do population estimates on bats, the easiest way to do it for cave hibernating bats is actually go during hibernation and get an estimate of all the caves and mines that they're hibernating in. So we okay. take cluster pictures and count everybody. So it's a lot of work, but it's the best way to get an estimate of those species. So any of the cave hibernating bats, but our tree bats, like our red bats, it's very difficult because they live in trees and they leave the trees almost all year round, and they're migratory.
Like, that's
so they're
wild.
Moving from northern United States all the way down to southern United States, wherever they migrate. They're just
So the northern United States, they make it up there during the summertime, like Minnesota, North Dakota, Canada, probably. I don't think Transylvania is right up there, but do they make it all the way to like Cancun, like some of the geese do? Or not, I mean Mexico. I got Cancun on my mind. Sorry,
but still Mexico. There you go. the hoary bat, which is our largest species of bat in Missouri, with about a 12-inch wingspan. It's about a foot wingspan, and wow. then they migrate. They're highly migratory, and so they're found from, you know, all the way to northern Canada, all the way down to Mexico and Central and South America. So we don't know exactly how far they migrate. If the ones in Missouri that come through were actually staying in Missouri, because they're only here. The hoary bats don't overwinter in Missouri, so we don't know exactly where they're coming from or where they're going to. But yeah, they're found all the way in Central and South America as well. So wow. they have a wider range.
So Shelley, I know as a bat ecologist for the Department of Conservation, I'm assuming there are you put on classes for people that want to learn more about this. What would your advice be if there were community groups or maybe scouting groups or whoever might be interested in finding out more about the bat issue in Missouri and Southern Illinois here?
Yeah, so we do not only do I do it, but all my colleagues, we have a lot of our education staff that puts on programs. And so the best way to find program information, you can always contact myself. But if you want to learn, if you need like some program ideas or whatever, me and my colleagues are more than welcome to provide programs when we're able to. But then the best way to look out for planned public programs is through our event webpage, and that is mdc.mo.gov/events.
Events. Okay. Yeah.
And so then you can just go to our website and search events, and then you can search in bath caves. And we have caving programs, we have bat programs, both online and in person. And so there's a lot of opportunities for people to learn more about bats and caves.
All right. I just have one important question for you.
And I have one too.
Okay. Who was the best Batman? I think it was Michael Keaton. Who are you pulling for?
I have to agree with Michael Keaton.
I am Batman.
He's not big enough. It's like Tom Cruise's Reacher. He's just not big enough. So my last question is, Shelley, is when I was a kid, I grew up in Minnesota, and the fear was when we would see bats, the fear was that they were going to dive into your hair and get tangled up. Do they do that, or is that a myth?
No, that's a
they
myth,
don't?
Yeah.
They I can do grow not my hair
get
back
your
then.
Hair tangled up.
I'll grow my hair back.
you're officially safe right now, Bo Matthews.
Yeah, they don't get in your hair. That's definitely a myth. So.
Okay.
They're more afraid of us than we are of them.
Oh, I've heard that before. Hey, Bat. Oh, that's what I'll say when I see him. Hey, Bat. Just like, hey, Bear. Shelley, thank you so much for all of the information and having a passion for bats. We do appreciate your time on the show, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Are you an expert in other things, and, you know, just so we can keep your number in case something else comes up?
Yeah. I have a little expertise in a little bit of everything. Bats and caves are my best one, but I do know other people that can do other topics too will be the species experts or whatever. But yeah, caves bats are my big expertise.
So does like an attraction like Merrimack Caverns, does it get bats too?
Occasionally, since they have a kind of a man-made entrance, there have been some bats down in there. But it's harder for them to get in, but I have seen some in their entrance before. But if it doesn't have like a man-made closed off entrance, then yeah, there's going to be bats in pretty much every cave you can find.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Well, they'll just have to pay admission to get in.
Shelley, great having you on. Thanks for the information.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that. Yeah. Just go to the Missouri Department of Conservation website if you want more details on all that stuff. Sorry, Bo.
Is that it? That's it, isn't it?
What's that?
That's it. The show.
That's the show.
That's the show, brother. Still great weather. And don't forget, if you would like to buy a Gun a Month gun raffle ticket, contact me through Facebook and we'll get that figured out, because we're going to continue with a second year of a gun drawing every single month. And we got one coming up on Monday, by the way, because the 15th was on a Sunday and we couldn't get Doc to show up this weekend. So Monday at 3:00. And I don't know if Facebook will let me on about it, because you had challenges with Facebook yourself this week.
Unbelievable. So we do my show, the Mark Cox Morning Show, live on Facebook and on X every morning, Monday through Friday, except this week we couldn't get Facebook to allow us to carry the show live, and we couldn't figure out why. And finally Ethan and I made the connection. I have been temporarily banned from live broadcast because I shared a page from the Range St. Louis West. They have their own page on Facebook. All I did was share their page where they were announcing their Customer Appreciation Day, which was, of course, this weekend. And they banned me because I shared the page claiming that dealing with guns violated their community standards. It's the craziest thing I've ever. It's almost like a bot must have done it, because no human being could be that stupid. It's just not possible.
Yeah, AI is not going to be that stupid. But I will tell you that almost every drawing that we've done out of Docs for the Gun a Month or Gun Raffle for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, we've had either sound issues, we couldn't get on. There's been all kinds of stuff. So I don't know if that same person is sitting there monitoring St. Louis and you and me, but we will call you if you win. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But. Jeez.
The big tech censorship continues. Wow. All
That's right. right.
That does it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.